Welcome to the English with Kirsty podcast from www.englishwithkirsty.com. Here I'll be sharing with you tips, information and other learning resources so that you can improve your business English. Welcome back to the English with Kirsty podcast. I have a guest here today with me. Welcome, Laura.
Hello, thank you.
Laura and I met through the networking sessions, and I thought because some of what we're doing is a bit similar, it would be interesting to have a chat and to bring her onto the podcast as a guest and to find out a bit more about what she's doing and to hear her story. So let's start by finding out who you are. So maybe you could tell people something about yourself and why languages are important to you.
Yeah, my name is Laura, and I translate from English, French and Spanish into German. I'm a freelancer and studied specialized translation in Cologne in Germany and worked before as a translation project manager. I always loved languages, and in school I considered becoming a teacher for French, but decided to study translation instead. And now I'm working mainly with English and French source texts and translate marketing content into German.
And how did that happen with, did you say you translate from Spanish as well?
Yeah, I studied Spanish exactly, and I focused on French and Spanish in university, and also lived for a few months in France. But when going freelance, I noticed that the demand is much higher for English and French,
okay,
and not French and Spanish. So I switched a bit. And sometimes I receive Spanish texts, but for me, English and French are my main working languages now.
Okay, so you found a way to combine something you like so that you enjoy with the languages and language learning using languages and your job. So what would you say is your favorite thing about being a translator?
My favorite thing is working with clients from all over the world with all different cultures and backgrounds. I mainly have clients from Europe, so from the UK, France, Belgium, Italy, for example, and it's always nice to chat with them and talk to them, because I think even when it's Europe, the working cultures are much different in every country. I like being a bridge, I would say, between two different cultures, and helping companies to publish their products in Germany and to make them attractive for Germans.
Yeah, it's something that you need more knowledge about how to do that than, knowing what's going to sound good, what's going to make people want to buy this thing or interested in this thing. It's having that understanding of both and being able to bring them together. And I think it's true. I'm in a similar position. Most of my clients are in Europe, and they started off just in Germany and Switzerland and Austria, because like the German speaking part of Switzerland. And now it's got a lot wider for me. And I really love that. There's so many interesting stories about other cultures and food. Food is always a good one.
Food. True.
Brings people together, and like celebrations and what different people are cooking. And it's really nice to get this, to be able to see other points of view and to see how other people approach things, because sometimes like there's a different way to look at the same thing, and it's a bit more, it's good to see different perspectives.
Absolutely. I also learned that Germans are always a bit more direct than British people, for example. When I write an email to a German person, I write it very direct, very clear. And I noticed that when I receive emails from British people, they are much more polite, much more not so direct. So it's super interesting to for me to adapt my tone of voice in emails.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like sometimes it's a good thing. Like, I like the directness of some of my German clients. I really know, like, if there's a problem, we find out about it, then we can try and fix it. And some of the people I know who moved here from Germany say, like, sometimes you don't know people are, it feels polite, but you don't actually know, like, oh, that's okay, when actually it's not okay, and you're supposed to know that somehow. Or not giving feedback very clearly. So it's two different styles of communicating, but it's also like what do they want you to know that they haven't told you? And that can be hard with the British style of communication sometimes. But yeah, I think it's good to see how different people work, and to get to know people, then you see patterns and you can understand where maybe some misunderstandings could happen and then avoid them.
Absolutely.
And so you also have a new service. Do you want to share a bit about what your new service that you've launched?
Yeah, I've just launched conversational courses for everyone who is learning German, but not from the very beginning. I would say with some months or years of experience. For persons who don't want to study grammar all day long, but who want to speak self-confident, because I notice myself that translators tend to hide behind their laptops. And preferring to send an email instead of calling, for example. That's me. Especially when I know that I have to call in France, for example. So I think that's something what many translators have in common. So I wanted to provide courses where we can just talk about whatever topic is interesting, about German work culture, about how to pitch a service in Germany. Everything what could be interesting for someone who's learning German. Also, for example, for foreign specialists who would like to work in Germany and find a permanent position here. We could talk about should we use the formal voice or informal voice, or practice interviews and so on. So I'm very flexible in the topics and tailor the courses to every person and hope to help to speak self-confident German.
Yeah, and I think that can be a big thing that I remember when I started using German more in a business context, I always hid behind my laptop. I always wrote emails. And when I did show up, I was working in a on a project, but when I did show up at a physical meeting in Germany, there was this real disconnect between who I was and the emails, sometimes being quite direct about what I thought wasn't a good idea. You know, I would tell people what I thought, but when I showed up there, I was this like very, people thought I was shy. I wasn't, but I was shy about being myself in German. So I can really see that as both a trainer, because I have these kind of courses for English too, but also as a learner who's been through this process in German. And now, yeah, sure, I make mistakes. I still have a lot to learn, but I don't have the same disconnect between the Kirsty who the rest of the time, and the Kirsty who shows up when she has to speak German. I think that is when you're using your language for your business, that's really important that you don't give two versions of yourself, because otherwise people may think, oh, was that AI that wrote those emails? When for me it wasn't. It was just that I couldn't be that same level of I didn't have that same level of confidence when I was speaking. And so for anyone who's in the same position, it's really good to try and get the two lined up a bit more, that who you are in writing is also who you are when people meet you for the first time or when you're working with them.
Absolutely. For emails, you have plenty of time to think and rewrite and delete and before you actually send it. And when speaking, you need to reply, of course, as soon as possible.
And I think for translators, some translators, it's maybe changed. Some of the people that I'm working with said that previously they worked a lot more with agencies and there wasn't such a need to speak, or if they did, they could speak their first language and that was no problem. But if you're approaching potential clients, like direct clients, then there's a chance that you're not going to be speaking your first language, because if they could do that really, really well, then maybe they're probably going to be based in other countries, or they're not going to have those language skills necessarily. And even if they do, it makes a good impression if you can use both. So, can you think of any other advantages for translators? Because you're in this lucky position of being both a translator and someone offering these services. So, how would having more confidence to speak German help other translators?
Yeah, I think it's exactly that what you said. Many Germans speak English very well, but when you'd like to find direct clients and pitch in Germany, I think it's much appreciated when the person who applies speaks actually German and can prove, I would say, to or show the skills. Also, showcase that you know the culture, the people, the language, maybe also what's going on in Germany in TV shows, politics, news, whatever. To showcase that you're a real partner, I would say, who can who is not German but knows German very well, Germany. So I think the marketing would get easier then. Also, when you'd like to attend a trade fair, for example, and just say hello to people, and Germany is your target market.
Yeah, and I think they're also more often people are more relaxed if they can use their first language, and that will help you to build a relationship with them more quickly if they are relaxed and just able to be themselves and not having to think about the other language.
Absolutely. We are the ones who would like to offer our services, then we need to make sure that the client feels at ease.
And I guess it gives you options too, because sometimes an email is the best option, but it's using it because you chose that option, not because that's the least scary one, the one that you feel best about. It's the one that feels good for this situation, rather than I don't dare to pick up the phone, so I'm going to send a message. It's having the choice that you can do both or do whatever feels good for that situation.
Yeah, and maybe it's also a good option to send an email first and then propose a call or a meeting in person, and I think it would make the difference between you and other freelancers to be able to show up and speak the language, not only write it.
Yeah, it's anything that can set you apart in a good way, and give you that advantage.
Yeah, exactly.
So, are you planning to do this in groups, or is it all one-to-one? services that you're offering?
I would start with one-to-one meetings because, or courses, because it's so tailored to a person. I think translator would need something different than an interpreter or a student who would like to study in Germany, for example. These are all very different target groups. So, I think one-to-one is the best. Maybe for students who are already a group of two or three, it could work with group meetings, but it's easier, I think, for both of us to keep the one-to-one.
Yeah, and then you can go specifically, you can talk about specific questions that they have or needs that they have, and help people to feel a bit more relaxed about speaking German, because when you do relax, you remember all those words that you thought you couldn't remember as soon as you start feeling nervous and anxious and your whole body posture changes, and then you forget what you do know. Because I do that too with Portuguese. I'm with German, it's not so bad. With Romanian, it's kind of in the middle, and then I have work to do with Portuguese, but I know that with the languages where you can relax more, then you feel it's easier to find the words because your brain isn't busy thinking how you really want to run away from the situation the next time.
True, yeah, exactly.
And would you give support in any of your other languages? Like, it try to do as much as possible in German, but if somebody wanted to ask a question in English or French, would that? Is that something you offer too, or?
Yeah, the person can ask questions in English or French, of course, but the goal would be to ask in German, of
Okay.
course. But I don't want to build any pressure. It should be a very relaxed, inviting atmosphere. And when it's easier for the person to ask something in English or French, then of course that's okay.
Okay, yeah, sometimes it's nice to have other bridge languages. You do as much as you can in the language the person wants to practice, but sometimes it's nice to have these bridge languages for the complicated question, or just for a bit of small talk. Sometimes it can help to
Yeah,
get to know new
that's
clients.
yeah.
Okay, so how do people find out, or how do people get in touch with you, or book a call to meet you?
I'm active on LinkedIn. I have a page there, and they can just send me a message there on invitation. Then we can book a call in the upcoming days to get to know each other a bit and to speak about what the person wants to learn, whether I can help or not. And we can check for both of us whether we can book a course or not.
Okay, so I'll include this link on the page for this episode, and so you can click through then. So if you are working with German or translating from German and you want to improve your German speaking skills and your confidence with German, then you can go and connect with Laura and have a chat with her. And if you are in the same position, but English is the language, I have some new courses coming up for translators too. It's called Reactivate Your Spoken English. So, speaking skills for freelance translators in English. Get in touch with me if that's something you'd like to know about. And I think the important thing for either group of people that I would just add is about. Don't feel that if you've been working with a language for a long time, there's anything wrong in taking a course, because you're not taking like necessarily a German or an English course. It's not the same. It's developing your speaking skills is very different from the kind of course somebody might go on when they're beginning a language. There's nothing to be ashamed of to have help with speaking. I can't even say it. To have help with speaking skills. because it's completely different skills from just learning how a language works or learning new vocabulary. Investing in your speaking skills is a chance to let other people know what you already know, because you're feeling more relaxed about doing it, about speaking and communicating in this additional language. So yeah, that's what we have to offer. So get in touch with either of us if you think we could help you, and have a great week.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the English with Kirsty podcast. If you have any questions or comments, my email address is kirsty@englishwithkirsty.com, or you can go to www.englishwithkirsty.com/podcast, where you'll find information about the individual episodes.